You see, it is during the holiday season that most people tend to be nicer to others. What I mean by that is, like, you know, usually November gets here and we kind of get into the mode of Thanksgiving, you know, generosity. That happens until Black Friday. And then some people don't want to be nice to anybody because you want to get the item. And if that person gets it, you fight that person. But you know, other than Black Friday, when you think from all the way from here to Christmas, most people tend to be nice. And we're like, you know, because we get into what people call the spirit of Christmas and the holidays and things. And, you know, one of the things that I just want to bring up to your attention is, think about this question. What is it that motivates people to generosity? What is it that motivates people to be generous, to give of their time, talent, their money? You know, what motivates you to generosity? I mean, I can give you some ideas of what is it that motivates people. I mean, think about some people motivated by the grace of God. They genuinely want to help other people. There are some that they're motivated by the competition. It's like they're giving some, I want to give more. So that, you know, it's almost like it's like a show off. There are people that are motivated by jealousy sometimes. Guilt, pride. Other people just do it because they want to be on the spotlight. Right, Patrick? They want to be on the spotlight. And so people are motivated by many different things. Now, when you read the Bible and you go to the book of Acts, you find how the church was so generous from the beginning. The church was birthed according to the chapter 2 in the book of Acts, and it says that they took care of their own needs. It's amazing how, you know, it says that there was no needy persons among them, because from time to time, people would sell whatever they have and bring them money and put it at the apostles' feet, and the money was being distributed to anyone who had need. That's how the church took care of their needs back in 2,000 years ago. And it's interesting how, you know, they were motivated because of the presence of God in their midst. And you know, amazingly, they devoted themselves to one another this much. You see, trials and persecution did not stop the generosity of this church. During the first century, there were a lot of things happening, like famine and pestilence and things like that. And so many of the churches that had some funds, they will help those who did not have. And, you know, we do that even today. Remember when Sandy, there were people that came even from Maryland here to help us. Because, you know, our brothers and sisters came together. And I always see that happening in our society. When there's tragedy, then we come together. And I always say, we should not wait for tragedy to strike. We should always come together. You know, but like I say, like there was a hurricane or whatever. And now everybody's like helping people. That's what happened in the church when they had earthquakes and famine. And those who have little, they will help out those who didn't have anything. You see, around 55 A.D., Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a letter to a church at Corinth. That's the first book that we have, 1 Corinthians. He wrote that. It's called 1 and 2 Corinthians because it was two letters that he wrote to them. So in the first letter, at the end of the letter, Paul said that everybody, he writing the church, set some money aside the first day of the week so that when I go, you don't need to take a collection. So that's in 1 Corinthians 16. It says about the collection. A collection for what? You might think that they were passing a plate. Literally, they were collecting money to help all the churches that in Judea that were going through earthquake or famine, whatever it is. And so Paul says, hey, since you guys want to help out about the collection, he says in that first letter, for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of the week. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, he said, so that when I come, collections don't need to be made. So that was about 55 AD. He wrote that to the Corinthian church. He goes, hey, you know, a church that was well off. You guys didn't have an earthquake or famine, but the people in Judea and Jerusalem did. So they're making a collection so that when Paul will go to see them, then he will bring the funds to people. So something happened. You know, a year went by and the church of Corinth did not do anything. And so Paul had to write a second letter, and then he brings that up in chapter 8. Now Paul wants to motivate the Corinthian church to get busy with what they promised. You know, a year went by and you said you're going to help out the poor Christians. You did not do anything. So he writes this one to them again. The one that we're going to be reading in 2 Corinthians 8. To encourage them, and he used two examples that we're going to be looking at. Try to motivate the Corinthians to be generous. So you got your Bibles with you. Let me just take you to chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Reading from the ESV, Paul says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he has started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you also excel in this act of grace. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give you my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." So Paul writes a second letter to the Corinthians, attempting to motivate him to get busy with generosity, because it's been a year since he wrote it. Remember 1 Corinthians? So a year went by from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians, and it's like, "I remember that you said that you were going to help out the poor Christians in Jerusalem, and you know I told you to set aside money, and you didn't, so now get busy." He says, "I want you to know, brothers," he said, "about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." So Paul is using the churches of Macedonia as an example to motivate the Corinthians to get busy. Now you're thinking about the Macedonian churches. Where is that at? So you look at the map. This is not a very good map, by the way, but you know, Macedonia is not Macedonia anymore. Those places might have changed name, but you see Macedonia and Thessalonica and Philippi. We have books in the Bible called Philippians and Thessalonians. Those are the churches that Paul is talking about. There was another church called Berea. So when Paul visited Thessalonica in around 49 AD, that's where he went. And you know, and now he's writing 55 AD. He's writing to a church in Corinth and says, "Hey, I want you to know about the grace of God the Lord has given the Macedonian churches." So the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, and the church of Berea. And then apparently those churches in Macedonia is the province. Those are cities. Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea. So there were churches, local churches in those regions planted by the Apostle Paul. So he visited there. So he knew how those churches were doing. And then he said, "Hey, brothers at Corinth, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the severe trials and poverty, I mean, they were going through a lot. Look at the condition. Severe affliction, extreme poverty." And it says, "They abounded in joy despite their condition. They also gave sacrificially." Paul says they gave beyond their means. Let me read those verses to you again so you notice what was going on with those churches in Macedonia. Verse 2. "For a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy..." You notice that they were afflicted, but they were still joyous in the midst of the affliction. "And the extreme poverty, they were poor churches, have overflowed in wealth of generosity on their part." And Paul says, "For they gave accordingly to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. And they did that on their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in this ministry." The ministry was the relief of the saints. "And this, not as we expected." In other words, they exceeded our expectations. "They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, they gave themselves first to us." So I want you to know, brothers, how the Lord has given grace to the Macedonian churches, that out of the severe trials and tribulation, you notice the condition, they gave sacrificially. They gave, he said, beyond their means. And they did it willingly. Nobody had to coerce them into giving. They did that on their own. And then he says, they begged us to be able to take part in this ministry. Now, the Macedonians pleaded with Paul because they wanted to be part of the ministry. And what was the ministry? To relieve the saints that were in Judea because they were going through famines and earthquakes. You see, when you look at the example of the Macedonian, you learn that generosity is a matter of the heart rather than circumstances. Generosity is a matter of your heart rather than the condition that you might be in. Because when you look at the condition of the Macedonian, that would have already, I mean, the condition would have just determined that it was not a very good time for them to give because they were poor, they were going through affliction, trials and tribulations. Regardless of that, they still gave. Not just gave, they say, we want to be part of this. So that's why when I look at the example of the Macedonian, I come up with that conclusion. Generosity is never a matter of the circumstances, but it's always a matter of your heart. They were determined to give, even though they were going through trials and tribulation. See, everything about the situation of the Macedonian churches would have suggested to us that it wasn't a very good time for them to give because they also were going through severe trials. They were being hard-pressed by afflictions and trials. Nevertheless, they were willing, they asked for the opportunity to be part of this ministry, to share in the giving funds to the saints in Jerusalem. Now, what was it about the Macedonian churches? And now Paul is bragging about them. He's utilizing them to try to encourage this church at Corinth that they said they were going to do it, but a year went by and they did nothing. And Paul says, I want you to know about the grace of the Macedonian. Look how they were, and still they gave. What was it about the Macedonian churches? Why were they so generous? I think you see that verse 5 is the key right there, why they were like that. Paul says the Macedonian Christian, they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us. They surrendered their agenda to God, and it became a kingdom agenda. I believe the believers will always be more determined to generosity when they give themselves first to God. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. When you place Jesus as the priority, you will be more determined to be just like Jesus to other people, to show generosity. So Paul says that Macedonians, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us. And that's why now I understand why they were so generous, because their priority was straight, was right. The believer will always be more determined to be generous or show generosity when that person, he or she, gives themselves to the Lord. And it goes back to this idea, when you love God, you will automatically love people. I mean, I don't know how some people claim to love God and they hate people based on social status or ethnicity. If you love God, you had to love people because, I mean, you're contradicting yourself. John says, don't say you love God whom you have not seen, and then you hate your brothers who you're seeing every day. So you showed you love God by loving people. So, and the Macedonians had an opportunity to show their love for their brothers by being generous, even though they themselves were going through a lot of affliction. Paul is using the example of the Macedonians, trying to get excitement into the believers, into the Christians at the church at Corinth, because they were not, you know, a year went by. They said they were going to do it, you know, like they made a pledge, and then a year went by, and then here comes the second letter. Hey, remember that you said that? Let me just tell you about the Macedonian churches. They were in worse condition than you are, and they still did it. Look at verse 6. Paul urged Titus. There's a book in the Bible, also Titus. He was a co-worker of Paul. Verse 6. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he has started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see also that you excel in this act of grace. We urge Titus apparently was the one that initiated, like, you know, he was at Corinth at that time. you know, in 55 AD, and they decided, hey, let's collect something for the brothers and sisters that are in Judea to help them out. You know, I went back, so Paul says, hey, Titus, go back. Finish what you started with those church at Corinth. So we urge Titus that he started that. So now bring to completion this act of grace. I love it because Paul says that giving is an act of grace. You know, that's what he said. He started, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. So we have urged, I love the New Living Translation, the rendering of that verse. It says, so we have urged Titus, who encourage your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Titus, go back and encourage people to get back on track on what they have decided. Now, it's interesting. We get to know a little bit about the Corinthian church. You see, when you start 1 Corinthians, you know, every church goes through a struggle. But the Corinthian church, we might call it a carnal church. They had a lot of issues in their midst. And, you know, the reason that some of the writers of the New Testament, Paul, Peter, they would write letters to churches a lot of times was to correct false teaching that was infiltrating in the church. Sometimes to encourage them. A lot of times it's because they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And now here comes the encouragement or the reprimand. So Paul writes, you know, the church was being divisive when you read the first letter. But this church, regardless of that, they were excelling in some areas. And Paul highlights that right here, verse 7. Notice it says, just as you excel in faith and in speech, the word speech is word of utterance. They were good communicators of the faith. They also excel in knowledge, understanding of the word. The word earnestness means diligence or enthusiasm. I mean, they were always enthusiastic, but I don't know what happened because a year went by and they kind of like went down. And then Paul says, you also excel in love. So it's almost like Paul says, you as a church, you are good in faith. You are good. You're good speakers when it comes to your speech and the word of God. And you have knowledge and understanding. You also have diligence. You care about people. You're always enthusiastic to demonstrate that earnestness. And you are also good. You are excellent in love. But there was something that they were lacking in. Paul says, also excel in the grace of giving. You see, they were so good in all those areas, but they were kind of like down. They were lacking in the area of generosity. And Paul says, hey, also excel in the area of generosity. Read that verse. Look at verse 7 again. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you also excel in this act of grace. And there Paul calls giving or generosity an act of grace. You're so good in so many areas, but don't neglect this one. Excel here. Abound, that's the word. The word be abound in this area. You abound in love, in faith, in speech, in understanding. Also, you need to abound in love. You know the word abound is what when you're pouring water into a cup and the cup overflows. That's the imagery of abounding. You know, it's like you went over. So apparently they were abounding in love, in knowledge, in all those other areas, but they were really lacking. That cup was like half, I mean, all the way to the bottom when it came to generosity. And Paul now says, you need to abound in generosity as well. Now, Paul made it clear that he said, this is not a command. I'm not commanding you to do this. Look at verse 8. This is just my advice to you. He said, many times, you know, in the Bible, you read something. It's not really a command. It's an advice. This Paul says, this is what I think you should do. You know, as being the pastor, or the preacher who planted a church and they're going through struggles, this is my advice to you. You take it or leave it. You know, it's up to you. And look at verse 8. I say this not as a command, but to prove the earnestness of others by your love, that your love is also genuine. Let me translate that for you. This is not a command. What I want to do is to test the sincerity of your love in giving yourself to people. I mean, you say you're abounding love. I'm not commanding you, but I want to see the sincerity, how sincere you are in your love and caring for people. I want you to demonstrate that right now, the earnestness, like, I mean, the diligence you have for people. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you're abounding all those areas, but you're lacking in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you to do it, But I want to test the sincerity of your love for people. You really care about people, show it to me. The Apostle Paul is challenging the Corinthians to get back to generosity. So your diligence in the matter of giving will show that you really love and you really care for other people. You see, the Corinthians needed to put in practice really their faith, to put in practice their love. And now through the generosity and giving to other Christians that did not have much, that they were needy, they have an opportunity to truly prove the genuineness of their concern, the genuineness of their love for them. Paul is almost saying, show me that you truly love people by showing generosity to them. Show me that you really care about people by doing something for them. Somebody said, Theodore Roosevelt, he said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, and that's so true. I mean, you might know so much about the Bible, but, you know, people might not care how much you know until they really know how much you care about them. And Paul says, hey, you know a lot. You have some knowledge. You have understanding. I mean, you have utterance in terms of like speech in the Word of God, but you're not caring too much about those people. Now you have an opportunity to do it. And I love it because from the beginning, Paul used the example of the Macedonians, and look at the example he's going to use now in verse 9. Jesus. He said, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. They were going through trials, but despite the trials, they ended up in wealth generosity. They gave beyond our expectations because first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us in keeping. They pleaded with us in this ministry of giving. I'm not commanding you to do it, but I want to test the sincerity of your love for people. And then look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the word grace again. Grace means to get something you don't deserve. Grace is to get something you don't deserve. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For your sake, he was rich. For your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Two examples that Paul brings to the church at Corinth, the example of the Macedonians, and finally saying, like, the example of Jesus. It is as though Paul was saying, if you're not motivated by the example of the Macedonians, how about the example of Jesus? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. The things that Jesus did for you and I, Paul, the same writer, when he wrote to one of the churches in Macedonia, the Philippian Philippi, he wrote a letter to them. In chapter 2, he said to them something about Jesus. He said that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he gave himself up, and he took on the appearance of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. And Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was equal to the Father, he decided to come. He humbled himself. He was rich, became poor for your sake, so that you, through Jesus becoming poor, might become rich. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if you're not motivated by the Macedonian churches, maybe you're motivated by the grace of Jesus, what he's done for you and I. That Jesus thought about you before he even thought about himself. He said, you know, I'm going to do it, pay the penalty for them because that's how much I love them. That is grace. You see, giving is an act of grace. And I truly believe this. When you understand the grace of God, you will always be more willing to give. When you understand the grace of God, what God has done for you and I, you will be more prone to give, and to give yourself, your time, whatever it is you have, you will be generous. Being generous is an act of grace. The Macedonians were motivated by the grace of God. And Paul now is trying to motivate the Corinthians also by the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. He did that all for you. You see, it was God's grace, the determining factor for the believers in Macedonia. Remember, they gave first to the Lord. And when you understand what the Lord has done, then you realize, you know, who am I? I got to do the same. I got I got to be giving, just like my Lord was. It was God's grace who prompted the Macedonian to do that. When you understand God's grace, you won't have any problem being generous to people when you realize what the Lord has given to us. And you see, generosity is an act of giving. You read famous Bible verse that even non-Christian know, John 3:16. Right there it is. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Because somebody said you can give without love, but when you love, you will always give. You can live. You can give without love. I mean, people give because they want a spotlight or, you know, whatever. You can give without love. Yes, a lot of people give to people without love, just to get away from those people, so they leave me alone, you know. But when you love, you will always give. In fact, love is demonstrated by something that you give. I mean, you know how it is. Even parents and husband and wife, like, there's something about that, like, you give yourself for that person because you love him. Or love him or her. Love has to be demonstrated. So when you always love, you will always give for yourself, your time, whatever it is. You will be generous because that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, will have eternal life. You know, I always tell the story when I went to Bible school. I was owing more than $5,000, and I needed to enroll in the college again. And I couldn't work. I didn't know how I was gonna be able to pay for that money. And there was a lady named Renata Pig. And out of nowhere, she called the school. And I don't know why I was selected. You know, she did not even, to this day, I don't even know who she is. And I think I got a call the other day that she was about to die in a nursing home somewhere in Indiana. But that lady, I don't know, out of the blue, she called the school and said that she will pay for my education. And I don't even know, you know, I think about why. Why would you want to do that? And then when I read this text, I realize the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For some reason, God used her to do that. She said, whatever he owes, I pay. And ask me, what motivated her to do that? I mean, you and I might come up with all kinds of conclusions, but I think what motivated her was the grace of God. Because, you know, like, I you know, sometimes people had to take student loans. I came owing zero from the school. Not because I worked for it. Somebody gave it to me. That's what grace is. I did not deserve that, but I was a recipient of grace. You know, because that lady did that. And you know, going through school, you know, college students, we're poor, we're broke, we don't have a lot of money. You know, sometimes I remember that, you know, having dinner at 5 o'clock, you know, by 8 o'clock, you're hungry. And, you know, not having a lot of money, sometimes I would go to bed with a Snicker and a Pepsi because I didn't have much. But there was a group of ladies at a church. Here's why church is important, folks. Here's a group of ladies, and they called it Eunice Club. And then, you know, they would celebrate my birthdays. They would send me soap and popcorn and other things so I can do laundry in college out of the blues. And you know, this lady, she was in charge of the group. Just a small group of women from this church, they decided, you know, let's help out college students. You know, let's be partners with them. You know, and then so every month I get this box, you know, and I have soap, detergent, you know, and I have goodies, all because Sisters in Christ at a church in Milwaukee, Illinois, did that for me. And I remember coming from a country that, you know, very tropical, and, you know, and now I had to be here with the cold weather, especially in Chicagoland area. This is way colder than here. And this guy gave me a coat. And you know, I go back like, why are you doing that? And you know, I realized because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and you don't have a coat. You're going to be cold. And maybe I can just keep you warm for a while. And you ask yourself, what motivates people to do that? They understand the grace of God. Because they don't realize they were partnering with me. If some people come to know Jesus because I'm a preacher now, they already part of my legacy. Because they decided to give me something I didn't have. God used them to accomplish his will. And they show generosity. And you see, just like Paul is utilizing the church of Macedonia, I have people that I can say they've been generous to me. Renata Pig. that church in Mohegan, the whole, I would go there, and guess what? There were not too many black people in the area because it was like predominantly white. I go in there, I was like a fish out of water. And there we have all these ladies, you know, senior citizen ladies celebrating my birthday. They would take me to a, you know, to a restaurant, and I was just like, and I wondered, like, why are they doing that for me? But guess what? They did that for me. Far be it from me not to do that for other people. I be a recipient of grace. I got to help somebody else now because, you know, Jesus said, give by grace what you have received by grace. Don't just keep that to yourself. And I think, you know, this idea of being generous to people. They helped me out to get through college. My family, now we help other people too because we're part of the alumni part of the school because, you know, we know what it means to be a college student. Unless, you know, your parents have a lot of money, you might not have a lot over there, but we want to help you out with something. We might not have much, but whatever we have, we want to give to you. I want you to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more that we understand His grace, the more generous that we'll be to one another, the more giving that we're going to be towards one another, the more loving we'll be to one another, you know. And like I said, God hasn't stopped. You know, like His, I mean, when I cannot even, you know what I mean? Like if I went to finish the sermon, I cannot stop telling people how gracious He's been, you know, in my own life. And you, all of you have stories how God has guided you. And maybe at one time you did not know how you're going to pay the bills. And boom, God used somebody to help you, to alleviate you. Just like Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to alleviate the saints in Jerusalem. By being generous to one another. Excel in this grace of giving. We're always going to be more generous when we give ourselves first to the Lord and then to other people. When we love God, we will automatically love people. Now, the question that I want to leave for all of you is this one. Do you truly know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you don't know the grace, you know, today is the opportunity for you to know that what Jesus, what God has done for you and I, and then what He expects of you and I to do for other people. I mean, even the first command, love God, love people. And you show God that you love Him by loving people. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should always be what motivates you to generosity. That should always be what's going to motivate us to continue going, to care for others that may not have enough. This is why we do this love collection. Love needs to be lived out. You know, and you know, we always, throughout the years, we got to collect something for the homeless or somebody else that might not have. You know, Thanksgiving is going to come, and a lot of people, you know, it's a time of families. But how about those people that might not have a family, and maybe all that they need is a warm meal? Maybe you and I can provide that for some, if we know who needs. And we do it. We do it because that would be the right thing to do. That would be the Jesus thing to do to them. All of us, my friends, we all being recipients of grace. Let's not keep that grace to ourselves. Let's show it to other people. And that should always be what motivates you and I to generosity. Would you pray with me this morning?